Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm the first woman Speaker of the House, and we passed the most comprehensive health insurance reform. I didn't come here about me. I came here about policy and the issues, and I wouldn't. Are you saying, would I rather not have passed the health care bill so I could keep this office? Never. Never. We had to get a tow truck and tow it away, just as we had to get a tow truck to pull the economy of our country out of the ditch that the Republicans drove us into.
The message this time is we're fighting for the middle class. We're going forward. We're moving America forward. We're not going back. And this is hard because we were in a deep ditch, and now we have to dig the country out.
Well, I declare today in the Savage Nation the end of the age of Aquarius. Welcome to the program. The Age of Aquarius gave us Bill Clinton, and the end of that arc was Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. Yesterday, Harry Reid said we were like we were in a hole, like the Chilean miners, and Obama dug us out of it. Today, Nancy Pelosi said we were in a ditch, and Obama dug us out of it. I say, well, it's a family show, but it rhymes with ditch. And the fact of the matter is, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Deranged comes to mind. Lunatic fringe comes to mind. Democrats losing come to mind. Now, yesterday was a big day on the Savage Nation because most of the prognosticators in America, and they're very good, are predicting a loss of between 50 and 55 seats to the Republicans owing to the far-left communist policies of Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and President Obama. They've attacked the bourgeoisie, that is the middle class, head-on. Idiots like Nancy Pelosi don't even know that she's a tool of the communist movement. She is so drunk on her own imagery and her own power, she doesn't even understand that she has been used as a tool of international socialism and worldwide communism. She's just delighted to have passed health care without any thought as to the devastation it has wrought upon her own party and upon the middle class, which you will all see very shortly. I, though, said I'm not as optimistic as most. My prediction is a loss of 15 to 25 seats, and I hope my pessimism is wrong. But the reason I'm saying that is because it came out today that I may be right. I said yesterday the Democrats are criminals, and they're going to steal seats around the country. They're going to steal elections. And it came out today that they bust a group of school children to polls, high school students to polls, with Democrat ballots, and then they fed them ice cream. Now, in the old days, they'd give $5 bottles of cherry brandy to the voters in Chicago. I suppose now they give them Ritalin and ice cream. Three van loads of Hughes High students were taken last week during school hours to vote and given sample ballots only for Democratic candidates and then taken for ice cream, a Monday lawsuit alleges. So that's what's going on. Three van loads of high school students were taken to vote, supervised by a school employee. When they got out of the vans, the suit alleges, they were accompanied by adults who appeared to be campaign workers or supporters for the Democrat candidates. And then after that, they were given ice cream. Now, we don't know if the ice cream was dipped in Ritalin or Kool-Aid, but we do know this is the tactic of the Chicago mob. Now, having said that, there's a lot of positive things to say out there. I see a volcano that's erupting in America, not a tidal wave. It's the volcano of the average person. And the volcano of the average person is reflected, of course, in the Tea Parties. Okay? That's number one. I had nothing to do with them. Nothing. I'm not sitting here to take credit for anything. The Tea Parties are the volcano of the actual America. And that's why the left-wing drug fringe is so freaked out by them. The entertainers, the people in the media who are all drug addicts. The left-wingers in the media are all drug addicts. And I stand by that. How can I make such a statement? They're either on psychoactive drugs that are legal or illegal, which explains their disconnect from reality. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when you hear a schmuck up there on HBO who is known to be a drunk and a drug addict, ridiculing day in and day out, the average person in America calling you a rube, do you understand that he's only there because the druggies at HBO let him be there? No one watches that crap. Nobody cares that Whoopi Goldberg is a human whoopee cushion and that she has a TV show. A living whoopee cushion. A TV show. Who watches that garbage? You don't. America doesn't. Who watches that garbage? Very few people watch it. So how could it exist? It's because the government media complex is so vast and so powerful. They don't care that they don't have an audience. All they care about is they push their agenda. I have some things to say that you have to hear about. They're separate from the news. One is that I got a call from my literary agent this morning, all excited. When I woke up, he said, Michael, trickle-up poverty is number one. This last week, trickle-up poverty went to number one on the Barnes & Noble list. He said, remember, the week before, it was number three on the BNN list. And then shortly thereafter, it turned out that it was number three on all the other lists, and you were number three in the New York Times list. He said, if the same formula holds true, you're going to be number one this week. He said, I can't guarantee it, but your listeners went to stores in droves last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and cleaned out the shelves. He said, what did you say to them? I said, I don't know what I said to them. I'm just reading from the book, Stop Socialism. Buy your copy now for your children and for your nation. And I also said to you that you've... I said a lot of things, okay? I can't summarize in two sentences. I have an announcement to make right now in the Savage Nation that's very beautiful. As you may know, in Washington, D.C., there is a conservative station now. There wasn't one for about a month. It was off the air. I used to be heard on WTNT in Washington for a couple of years. Then WTNT switched where they only play Chinese musical music in order to make the owners of Washington feel better as they drive around in their American limos. But a new conservative news talk format has opened up in Washington, D.C., WTNT, 7:30 on the dial. But here's the amazing news. Unto itself, that's big news, that a conservative station would open in Washington, right? But here's the real big news. Michael Savage is on 6 hours a day on TNT. That is right. I'm live from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Okay, fine. That's East Coast time. But the next day, I'm on for 6 hours. In other words, the show from today, for example, that you're listening to right now, will be heard again tomorrow from 12 to 3, and then the live show will be on from 6 to 9. Does that make sense? So that means, let's say Harry Reid is gotten up at 11 o'clock, and he's driving to meet the showgirls, and he's in a car sometime in Virginia from 12 noon to 1 looking for the showgirls that Sharon Angle says he's visiting or hanging around with supermodels. He can hear me now in his limo between noon and 3 p.m. And then after a long lunch with the supermodels, when he is driving back to be told what to vote on, between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., Harry Reid can hear me live on 7:30 on the dial. Or let's say Obama's just come from another fundraiser, in between bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia or kowtowing to another dictator, and he flies in from a fundraiser in California, and he gets home in time for another fundraiser. On the way to another fundraiser, the president can hear Michael Savage from noon to 3 or at night 6 to 9. 7:30 on the dial, TNT. Today I'm giving out free books in this hour only to listeners on in Washington, D.C. Will everyone else not call? Right, okay, they're up. Keep them up there because I got some great callers. If you're listening to Michael Savage on WTNT in Washington, 7:30 on the dial, you're going to get a free book if you get on the air, okay? That's number two. What else do I have to say on the Savage Nation? We've got something coming up for you that you're not going to believe. As you well know, Ted Nugent is a big fan of the Savage Nation, and I'm a big fan of Ted Nugent. One hand washes the other, as it were, because we think alike. But we're very different in some ways, obviously. We're from different backgrounds, but politically we may as well be blood brothers, right? In a foxhole, Ted Nugent and I would be aiming at the same target. I suspect he would hit it first and probably more cleanly than I would. But Ted Nugent wrote an incredible article for the Washington Times last week reviewing the show. You're going to hear him live in a recording the minute I get back on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Ted Nugent's interview in a minute, but I want to go to a caller on a new station in Washington, D.C., 7:30 on the dial. John from Washington, D.C., how'd you find the show?
Yes, sir. I was listening on the Internet and heard it there that advertisements, it was going to be broadcast live starting, you know, this week or whatever. So, yes.
Well, so you know where you can catch real conservative listening in the heart of the monster, Washington, D.C., 7:30 on the dial. John, stay in the line. You get a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Carry it proudly around the streets of Washington. Right now, we go directly to Ted Nugent on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, I got to tell you, I bring you a huge salute from the heartland. I travel all over this great country. I just wrapped up a wonderful tea party in South Dakota, did some pheasant hunting, some bird hunting with some great heroes of the U.S. military and their families. And I bring you a word of thank you, a deep, heartfelt appreciation for you standing up for the self-evident truth, the logic, the goodwill, the decency, and what is common and sensible across this country. And certainly what trickle-up poverty reflects is the battle cry of accountability. I mean, you nailed it in your book, as you do on your show every day. And you, when you speak, Michael, you speak for working hard, playing hard America. We understand trickle-up poverty. We understand trickle-down economics. We understand working hard, playing hard America is driven to be as productive and be the best that they can be. And you outlined the guideline, basically, of how families in this country still operate. We still get up early. We still put our heart and soul in being the best that we can be. And when a book like Trickle Up Poverty comes along, written the way that you write and the way that you speak and the way that you represent us out there, we thank you for that. And we think that it is mandatory reading for everybody, particularly in the United States of America in 2010, where common sense exists, but it is not celebrated or promoted enough. In your book and the way that you stand, Michael, that celebrates and promotes what we believe in. Trickle Up Poverty, like your radio show, addresses this soullessness, the brain-dead condition of political correctness. Political correctness, if you identify, Michael, throughout your radio career and in your written word and your spoken word, is it's a disease. It's a cult of denial. Political correctness is about focusing on feelings instead of focusing on honesty and quality of life and productivity. And in your book, you have nailed it once again that those who adhere to the cult of denial and the political correctness that has destroyed this once great American dream, it's political correctness that caused Americans to bend over and allow the Barack Obama and his gang of Mao Zedong fans and his czars to intentionally and just soullessly misrepresent the most productive and the most honest and the most conscientious members of our society. I've always been forthright and bold and unapologetic. I mean, I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. I'm a rock and roller. I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. I'm a welder. I'm a plumber. I'm a carpenter. I work hard and I play hard, and that's how I raise my children. And my children are honest and conscientious and polite and kind and funny and witty and athletic and caring. But what they are not is politically correct. We're interested in quality of life, not saving someone's feelings. Worrying about feelings is transparent and counterproductive. Worrying about quality of life is honest and very productive. So we salute you once again for representing us in the embarrassing condition of political correctness and how you stand up against it. Thank you for that. I believe that the mainstream media's days are numbered. I believe in many of our lives, it's over. We do not rely on Katie Couric. I mean, I was offended by Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite before they were exposed to be the anti-Americans that they clearly are and that their agenda clearly was. I believe that what we see from the Michael Savage show, the American way is about individualism, rugged individualism, independence, true declaration of independence every day. And I believe that the American people, as personified by the Tea Party movement, is in defiance of the controlled and manipulative anti-education, anti-information of the mainstream media. So I believe the worm has turned. I believe that the tide has turned, and we the people are going to rely on Michael Savage more than the Katie Couric's of the world, and I believe that's a good thing. Remember, Michael, as you've said for years, the number one curse really isn't Obama and Cass Sunstein and Van Jones and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Charlie Schumer and all the ultra-leftists and the America haters out there. The real curse is the apathy by we the people who bent over and allowed these Marxists and these Leninists and these socialists to get into position of power. The real horror story in America is the disconnect. The disconnection, the ignoring of danger signs, certainly since World War II, and certainly during Vietnam, and certainly during this war on terror and post 9/11, Americans are unfortunately for many, many years, and I'm 62 this year, and I've seen them bury their heads deeper and deeper into the sand. Once again, finally, God sent Barack Obama to America to wake us up out of this embarrassing, apathetic slumber, because they have finally aroused a sleeping giant, and we know that liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, hello? Michael, once again, as I enter my 61st hunting season, I'm celebrating time with the heroes of the military and children's charities and certainly the whole Nugent family. We thank you for representing we the people. We thank
Savage.
Well, we got cut off a little bit there, but that was Ted Nugent thanking me for writing Trickle Up Poverty. Again, if you want to call the show, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I think we're going to next have Mick Jagger calling in about Trickle Up Poverty. I believe then the next day we have Jane Fonda calling with a salutation and Ted Turner. Yeah, right, of course. That's really going to happen. They're out saving the world on their finca in Uruguay. It's interesting to me that Ted Turner and Jane Fonda have a, what, 50,000-acre ranch somewhere in South America to flee to when it all comes down, girl, when they're the ones who brought it down, boy. It's interesting to me that it's somewhere in the vicinity of the same place that certain Germans fled to after the war. Isn't it interesting how liberalism has become the very thing it said it was not?
Savage.
Why do fools vote for Obama?
We on the air? Are we live? I hear that they're giving out bird seed now to birds in the zoo to vote for the Democrats. They've taught, while we were sleeping, the Democrats have taught birds how to fly into voting booths and vote. Illegal bird aliens. It's really funny, isn't it, to see a country lost like this to an imposter and a gang party. It's all about the money. Never forget that. It's always about money. Obamacare, or the health care scam, is about stealing trillions of dollars. It's not about providing health care for the poor. It's about sucking the system dry till there's nothing left in it. The medical system has always been the softest touch for those who are corrupt. I can't even begin to tell you, from ambulances to aspirin, whatever you name, billions of dollars have been stolen a year and are being stolen right now. It's going to become trillions over the next 10 years as a result of what Obama has done by centralizing health care in the hands of a few bureaucrats. The potential for a thievery is greater than it's ever been. You would think on the that it would be the opposite, right? You'd think that in order to provide more health care for the poor, they would make it more cost efficient. But everyone who's studied it, as I point out in the health scare fraud and trickle-up poverty, it's all about the money, my friends. It's all about stealing money. You got to understand that. Now, talking about the middle class, I want to go to an interview I gave on Newsmax. It's very important you go to Newsmax and take a look at this video that they did with me. But I want to read you about China. Their headline was intriguing. They headlined it, Michael Savage says China is on the verge of burying the U.S. Outspoken, this is by David Patton from Newsmax. Outspoken to a radio host, Michael Savage warns that China is steadily wiping out the American industrial base and burying the United States by keeping the value of its currency artificially low. This is a story that needs to be told. Savage, whose show is heard by over 9 million listeners each week, writes about the attack underway against the U.S. middle class in his new book, Trickle Up Poverty. The political clamor over China's trade and currency policy has been steadily building in recent months, in part because of the sluggish economy and high U.S. unemployment. Sorry, I'm talking in New Yorkese right now. I've gone from mainstream American lingo to the New York cadence in order to get as much in as I can. So you'll have to forgive me if you don't. I don't have any way to do subtitles, so I'm going to have to speak at my normal pace. You ready? They're burying us, Savage tells Newsweek in an exclusive interview. They're controlling the world's economy by keeping their currency too low so they can continue to export cheaply. It also cripples those of us in other countries who want to export to China. And so unless we impose tariffs on their goods, says Savage, we're going to lose every industry. We have lost our machining industry, lost our steel industry. We virtually lost most of our auto industry. The Beltway clamor over China's trade and currency policies has been steadily building in recent months, in part because of the sluggish economy and high U.S. unemployment. In September, Congress passed legislation allowing tariffs to be levied against any country that manipulates its currency to gain a trade advantage. The move was widely condemned in China, which alleged the United States was dumping chickens and slapped a tariff on U.S. poultry imports. Savage isn't alone in sounding the alarm. This month, billionaire Donald Trump objected to China's policies and stated outside forces are destroying this country. Savage warns America must act quickly or risk losing its remaining industrial base. Here's what Savage says. Unless tariffs are put on their goods, the few industries that remain in this nation that are viable are liable to disappear very, very shortly. And the only way to save America is to institute tariffs on specified industries and to rebuild the manufacturing base of the United States of America. Savage sees the trade imbalance with China as part of a larger assault on America's middle class. For at least 150 years, he says, it was the great middle class that made America unique. The policies of Barack Obama and Democrats in Congress are now hurting those middle class citizens, he says. You know, Obama came across as a Robin Hood who was going to rob from the rich to give to the poor, Savage told Newsmax. The exact opposite is true. He's not robbing from the rich to give to the poor. He's shrinking the middle class to give to the rich and the poor. And so the rest you'll have to read for yourself. I can't read you the whole article. It's really well done. I think I've done enough reading from that, but it's all in there, okay? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, this is Dave in Corning, California, the olive capital of the state.
Yes.
I wanted four quick points, and I'm going to make them real fast for you. Number one, you scare me to death. Number one is you asked your listeners a long time ago before Obama was elected what scares you the most about him getting elected, and to me, my answer was the Supreme Court appointments that he was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Let's pause right there. Let's pause right there. He appointed two radical leftists to the Supreme Court, and they're laying there stealthily waiting to undermine America. We're only one vote short of communist Marxism in this country.
Right, you're right. Now, number two, your predictions. Your predictions scare me to death because 100% of the predictions you made in all the years I've been listening to you have come true. The ones that scare me the most are the ones you're making right now because I know they're going to come true.
Okay, hold on. This is good. This is good for me to hear. Okay, quickly, what predictions have I made right now about what Obama might do unless he stopped?
Oh my God, socialism is the big one.
Are you a man who's in business?
No. I've worked for a major airline all my life, and I've retired from there.
But you still care about the future of America because America is part of the matrix of your being, is what I'm saying. In other words, you could say, you know what, who gives a damn? I'm old enough. I'm going to live on my retirement pension. I don't care what happens. You could do that, couldn't you?
Oh, of course.
So what is it that motivates you to get up every day and fear so much for the future? Why do you care? Is it about your children, grandchildren, or the nation itself, or all three?
Probably the grandchildren and the nation. Now, number three, what I want to make here is the election in California coming up.
Oh God.
The election in California is not an election about who the politicians are. The election is, in California, all of the state has encouraged welfare people, and they have discouraged business. And now,
yes, absolutely. And Jerry Brown is leading the parade against business and encouraging illegal aliens to flood into the state and flood into the welfare offices. Absolutely right. Jerry Brown may as well run around with a red banner over his arms.
Of course. But now, listen, the election is going to determine the population shift in California. Do we have more people in California which want the nanny state, or do we have more people in California who want a working state? That's what the election is going to
do. I'll give you the answer. I'm going to give you a simple answer. I recently drove up to the High Sierra over the weekend. You heard me maybe yesterday. Went up Highway 80, So you start out and, you know, you go through Vallejo and then you wind up going past the state mental hospital down there and you see where the ex-assemblymen are now on the Happy Farm. Then you go through the state capital of Sacramento. It's all still pretty flat. Then you come up to the Sierra foothills and then you go up to the High Sierra. On the way back, you come back through the farmland of California all over again. And you know what you see? Things I've never seen before. The railroad cars that carry the products around the state are all tagged by gangbangers. Have you seen that? Have you seen that the railroad cars in our state are now filled with tagging by gangs? And I said to the people in my car, I said, their parents work their hearts out on the farms. The children are gangbangers and drug dealers, and they have no self-control, and they would do anything to burn the state to the ground. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, hey, listen. My fourth point is the Tea Party. You have encouraged me to go to Tea Party meetings here in Corning, California, which are every Thursday at the Senior Center at 6 p.m. Anyway, I'm getting more politically involved because of you.
Well, Dave, I hear you, and you should go to the Senior Center. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm sending you three copies of Trickle Up Poverty, one for you and one for each of the two communists that you'll meet at the next Tea Party meeting. I'll be listening to see what happens as a result of that. Let's go now to Washington, D.C. Michelle, thanks for calling me. What's on your mind, Michelle?
Dr. Savage, welcome back.
So did you used to listen to me on that old...
Yes, actually, they went to some crazy sports radio format, but we are so happy to have...
Why would anybody list time like this? Can anyone listening to this show tell me why any grown man would listen to sports?
Well, I don't think anyone...
For just go, they have a whole sports station. Why would anyone listen to it? How can a grown-up listen to a sports station? I don't understand it. The world is shifting under the moron's feet. The moron listener, he cares about which schmuck hit a ball out of a field? Anyway, Michelle, thanks for listening on WTNT 730 on the dial. How's the signal? Is it good?
It is strong, just like you, and it's the truth. So we are so happy.
It is called the truth. The truth comes to Washington, D.C., sending you a free copy of TUP, Trickle Up Poverty, 1-800-449-8255. Another caller out of Washington, D.C., Carlin, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've been listening to you for several years here, and I go along with everything you have to say there. I've been old Marine. I'm 76 years old, and I enjoy listening to you every night.
God bless you, man. You're the bedrock. You're the reason I'm able to talk on this show, because men like you bled for the freedoms of this country and gave me the opportunity to have freedom of speech. If it wasn't for men like you, there would be no freedom of speech. There would just be commissars like Nancy Pelosi.
You said that right. I'll guarantee you that.
Where did you fight, Mike? Did you see action in Korea?
No, I was in 1952, and I was going to go to Korea, and as they settled the truce there, I was sent to Panama. And our brother Jimmy Carter there, he turned around and gave the Panama Canal, and now the Chinese is operating both ends of it.
That's right. The Chinese are running the Panama Canal. That's all Jimmy Carter. Oh, Jimmy's done a lot of good things for America. He did a lot of good things for the world, Jimmy. Sending you a free copy of TUP, Stay on the Line, Washington, D.C. Brad, you're on the line next. What's on your mind? You're listening in Washington, I hear. How's it coming in loud, clear, I hope?
It's coming in loud and clear, Mike. We used to sound like you were on two tin cans strong. We are so glad to have you back.
Not too weak. We're pretty good. As I say, we want to make sure Harry Reid can catch us in the limo on the way to meet the supermodels during lunch and on the way back on the way to a dinner appointment to meet the supermodels.
Mike, I tried to call the old station when they switched to sports.
It's the sports. Stay in the line. You get a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. We're going to open it up to the general nation now. Anywhere in America, everyone's a winner. New York City, Washington, Maine, Florida, California, Chicago, Boston, Massachusetts, Detroit, wherever the Savage Nation is heard, on all the 300 and some odd affiliates, the millions of listeners, you're all available to call the show right now, 1-800-449-8255. Let us go to Wisconsin. Barbara, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I want to discuss this divide and conquer approach that Obama has. You know, he came in with the unity. We're not purple states. We're not red states. We're not blue states. We're purple states. We're the United States. Hogwash. He has taken every segment of our population from race to religion to age, you name it, and divided all of us.
Absolutely. He's the most divisive president in American history. He's the great divider. And Michael Savage said it first. The most divisive president in American history, says Savage. The most divisive president in American history, says Savage. The great divider, says Savage. The country is more divided today than it has been since the Civil War, all because of one man, Savage. You agree or disagree with what I just said?
Absolutely do. And I will tell you something, Michael. I am a homosexual business owner, and I have had it. You know what? I'm a Republican. I don't care who I sleep with. That's my business. That has
well, have you ever heard me recently say one word about anyone else's desires? Have you? No. You know I haven't.
No. And I don't care about anyone else.
That's because you're probably having a better time than I am. So I decided to say maybe there's something in it. You know, I mean, what's going on here?
I'm a business owner, and I see my, you know, they drive wedges between our employees and us.
But I guarantee you're having a better time than I am. I mean, I can hear that in your voice. It sounds like you got something to do tonight.
In bed, but not at work.
No! I was trying to draw that out of you. At least you got a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot the point.
Oh. Are there more women in the lesbian community like yourself than people know? More lesbian women who are homosexual, who are conservative?
I think there are, but, you know, I have to tell you, When I came and I said, I'm voting Republican, I will tell you, my college professors that I was good friends with, they won't talk to me. My friends in the gay community won't have anything to do with me.
So if I send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty, can I put it in a plain brown crinoline?
You can put Trickle Up. I'm proud. I am proud.
Well, if you're proud to be out, then you should be proud to keep the book out. Keep it on your dashboard. The next time you go out, keep it out. How's that? Is that a good phrase for that community? The next time you go out, keep it out?
That's right. And I
you know what? You and I can be friends. I can guarantee you. You got a quick wit. Stay in the line. Free copy of Tup coming. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is the dawning of the
I will not talk about 6 ways oatmeal can improve your skin. No, I will not tell you about 10 superfoods for radiant skin. No, I will not review a male hula dancer. No, I will not do any of the things that make Nancy Pelosi's backyard the maddest place on earth. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. The reason I am playing the Age of Aquarius is because Obama is ending the Age of Aquarius. You see, in the 1960s, hippies and leftists declared that the Age of Aquarius had arrived. Now, it was supposed to be an age of peace, love, and understanding. But for decades, the left has used these ideas as a way to bring Marxist socialism to power in America. But now, Obama has pushed this madness so far and so fast that he has brought the Age of Aquarius to an end. The reaction to Obama's rabid leftist extremists has been so great that it will not only cause a political shift in America, but a cultural shift as well. That is my prognosis of what's going on. He moved too quickly, and he moved too fast, and he moved too deeply. He did not do it gradually. As a result, he's blown apart the entire Marxist myth. Now, I want to go back in history for a minute. I'm a big fan of history, military history, particularly on TV. It's one of the only shows I can stand to watch other than a few other, you know, things. Mad Men, I like again. It was pretty good, but... So I watch a military history about World War II, World War I. So the one I was watching last night was about how quickly Germany overran France. It wasn't that the French soldiers weren't valiant. Many of them were. It's true that many French gave up right away. Whole brigades and generals gave up within a few days of the German advance. But soon after France fell to the Nazis, Marshal Pétain, who eventually became a collaborator with the Nazis, who had previously been quite a war hero, Marshal Pétain at first, after the Germans were victorious over the French army, said, "This defeat of France is the result of 40 years of Marxism in this country." I was stunned to hear that line. And I couldn't believe what I was watching because I said, this is parallel to the United States of America and Britain today. I read this morning, for example, that Britain is getting rid of its only one of its functional aircraft carriers. It's getting rid of its entire Harrier fleet. It is decimating. Now, this is the fake conservative Cameron in England has come along and taken a butcher knife to the military in England. He's cutting out an entire aircraft carrier. He's eliminating the Harrier jump jet. He has destroyed and decimated the British military. Obama, as I point out, in trickle-up poverty, has decimated the U.S. military, will destroy NASA, will destroy our nuclear arsenal. Why? 40 years of Marxism. He will render us incapable of defending ourselves. Now, when you add to this nightmare of Obama the fact that Gates, the defense secretary, and Mullen, the Joint Chiefs of Staff head, have become nothing, I would say yes men if I wanted to be polite. I would say Stepford wives if I wanted to be impolite. But none of this is laughing matter. They are not independent men. They don't stand up for the military. Take a look at our armed forces. They can barely fire a shot without being called up on a court-martial. When have you last seen the U.S. military unleash its power on the people who want to kill us, who are killing our young men? In our country, we are riddled with enemies within, right inside our universities. I'm going to play a soundbite for you that you're not going to believe. Here is a Muslim who was an English professor at a university in Pennsylvania. His name is Kabab Siddiqui. This is a man who could hardly speak English. He's an associate professor of English at Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, calling for the destruction of Israel and killing Jews. I want you to listen to this.
We must stand united to defeat, to destroy, to dismantle Israel, if possible, by peaceful means. Perhaps like Salahuddin, we will give them enough food and water to travel back to the land from the way they came to occupy our people.
You bastard, you. You bastard, you. If I were the head of the FBI, well, I'm going to stop right there because waterboarding is too good for him.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Knocking on doors and making phone calls, talking to your friends and neighbors, if you do not give up hope, then I guarantee you that not only are we going to win this election, because this was never just about putting a president in the White House, it was about building a movement for change that lasted for a long time. We will build a movement for change that will last 10 years from now and 20 years from now, and we will grow this economy and restore the middle class to its rightful place, and once again, the American dream will be alive and well.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius.
So the man who has sacked the middle class is now saying he's going to save the middle class. The man who has brought the most corrupt administration in history to the White House now says he's going to clean up Washington. And the American people have grown up, by the way. You know, you have to thank Barack Obama for a few things. And the number one thing you have to thank Barack Obama for is for bringing naked Marxism to the American electorate, where they finally understand it. Now, you don't expect the newspapers to say it because they're all fellow travelers. But Obama is America's first Marxist president, rightly said, perfectly said, clearly said. His target has been from the beginning the bourgeoisie or the middle class. He is America's first Marxist president, and he has awakened the sleeping giant, primarily of the white middle class, dumb idiot who normally would watch sports day and night. The normal dumb idiot who was narcotized on sports, the normal dumb idiot who then went home and watched internet porn instead of making love to his wife. The dumb idiot in the pickup truck is not dumb, so is not as dumb as he was because of Barack Obama. And you have to thank him for awakening the dumb idiot. I got to tell you that. That's the absolute truth. Obama should be thanked for awakening the moron who in previous years would have spent his days watching sports or listening to it on the radio and at night sneaking into his basement to et cetera. So there it is. Thank you very much, Barack Obama. He has turned gray in this 2 years because finally the college teacher has had to face reality. The illusion of self has finally come around full circle inside Barack Obama's own psyche, and he realizes in looking himself in the mirror that he cannot hoodwink the American people the way he thought he was hoodwinking all of the white liberals who greased the skids for him every step of the way from the time of his youth in Honolulu at Punahou High School. You don't understand any of this the way I do. I may understand this better than you do and better than anybody in America. I think I do, which truthfully is why the book is selling so well. And I got a call this morning. I told you from my agent, if you just tuned in, I have to say it again. Remember last week, the book debuted at number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. Well, the week before that, it had been number 3 on the Barnes & Noble list. So the New York Times reflected the B&N list. I don't know if it's going to be that way again. I hope it is, because he said, Michael, last week your book was number 1 on the Barnes & Noble list, which is astonishing. We will know tomorrow, incidentally, because if the same trend holds, the book will move up a slot or maybe to number 1, and the comedian will finally be pushed down where he belongs, and the hack from Washington, who keeps writing the same old, like he's the sage himself, will be pushed out of the top slot, and Michael Savage will ascend to the top, as he should, because I'm the most original nonfiction writer in the United States of America, thanks to the audience on the Savage Nation. So Obama, we have to thank him. He's been in office for 21 months. He has become thinner and wirier. How do you say more wiry? Wirier? He's become even thinner and more wiry than he already was. He is campaigning right now instead of running the country. He is campaigning on behalf of those few Democrats who actually still stand a chance in the midterm elections on November 2nd. If he has any chance to push forward the rest of his communist agenda in the next 2 years, his fellow socialists have to defend their majority in the Senate and the House of Representatives. But in the 2 weeks that remain before the elections, the president must reverse all of the trends and bad poll ratings. In order to do that, he needs to create the illusion that it is indeed possible to do this, and that he can recapture the same excitement that he came to public prominence with. But he can't do it. The fact of the matter is, his eloquence is gone. His wit has been shown to be nothing but a teleprompter, because when the teleprompter is gone, he reverts to a sort of a staccato speech making that has no sense whatsoever. People say he is a weak president. I'm not so sure he's a weak president. I think he's actually a very strong president in terms of his own agenda, not in terms of America's greatness. I believe that his education policies are a disaster. I believe that the health care reform he passed will be his undoing. I believe that the socialized medicine that he has jammed down America's throat with a little help from Nancy Pelosi and her great big hammer are the reason the Democrats are going to be tossed out on their rear ends in a couple of weeks. I believe that the excited white middle class is finally going to have its say in this country after 30 years of repression. I believe that the silenced majority is only going to get louder and louder and louder. And I also believe that there's actually going to be some vengeance. I believe that if we elect, and here's the most important thing about what I wanted to say, if we elect the Republicans again, and if they dare do to us again what they did under George Bush, if those K Street Republicans get put back in office because of the Tea Parties and because of shows like mine, Republicans better not suddenly say, wow, the people are really stupid. Look how we duped them into voting for us again. I pray to God that they learn their lesson. I really do. Because America doesn't have much longer to maintain its prominence in this world. We've been out-traded by China because of the enemy within. You know that, and I know that. How many heavy industries are left in this country? What happened to our steel industry? What's happening to our airplane manufacturing industry? Every time we build something for China, they demand the technology to go along with the building of the jets by Boeing. They want some of the secrets to build it so they can then steal it and build it themselves. Till eventually we won't even be able to build a warplane in this country. Maybe we can outsource the building of our next generation of fighter jets in order to save a few dollars, in order to line a few pockets. Is that the direction that you want America to take? We have a military that is demoralized. We have a military that is run by a judge rather than by a defense department. One stinking judge appointed by Bill Clinton, a radical feminist lawyer, has decided to change all of military policy with regard to gays in the military, and the Stepford wives in the military at the top of the chain go along with the command of this one radical left-wing judge. Instead of standing up for the troops, 85% of whom, according to the Marine Corps Commandant, say, no, we don't want openly gays in the military. Instead of listening to the men who are actually fighting and dying and taking bullets for our freedoms, they're listening to one radical left-wing judge. Is that a way to run a defense department? No, it is not a way to run anything. Now, let's talk about Afghanistan for a minute. You know that I stand opposed to the war in Afghanistan. I've said so for well over, I don't know how many months. I don't really remember when it first dawned on me that I don't know what we're doing there. I'm a man who tries to use common sense and logic in any of my analysis. Why are we in Afghanistan? I've asked this for over a year. You'd say, oh, well, you're a conservative. You should be for the war. Well, what should I be for? How do you know what I should be for? I'm for common sense, and I'm for what makes America great. I try to speak the plain truth, and I try to come up with reasonable solutions. I have a 37-point solution, set of solutions to the problems of America and trickle-up poverty. I don't care that the mainstream media doesn't pay attention to my book. All that matters to me is that tens of thousands of Americans, maybe hundreds of thousands, eventually will read this book and spread the message, hopefully before the election. Why? I could give a damn less what Der Spiegel thinks of me. I could care less what another little puppet on the news media thinks of me. What matters to me is what you think of me. You're my only audience. The rest of it doesn't matter to me. I don't care what the bloggers say. I don't care what the websites say. All I care about is what the listeners to this radio show across America, who tune in faithfully every day and hang on my every word. They go with my emotions up and down. If I feel good, they feel good. If I feel bad, they feel sad. If I have an indigestion, they get indigestion. No, it's amazing how deeply connected we are on this radio show. It's a 16-year process that you're listening to. I didn't start on the radio yesterday. I've been at radio since 1994 after many other careers. Those in the media who like to disparage my conservative politics refuse to acknowledge my great education and my great history as a writer. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you know who I am and that you know that the best interests of America are what I care about. That's all that matters to me. I'm still a Boy Scout. Yes, I'm still the 11-year-old Boy Scout going around Queens, New York, hanging little signs on people's doors, neighbors' doors, people I didn't even know, until midnight with a little sign that said, get out the vote. I remember my scoutmaster to this day, Mr. Aronson. I remember what a nice man he was. I hope he's still living. I kind of doubt it. Because I'm not as young as I was then, obviously. It's quite a few decades ago, so I would imagine he's gone to his reward in heaven. But I remember Mr. Aronson lectured all of us little Boy Scouts. He said, boys, he said, voting is the most important and sacred thing an American can do. Men died for our right to vote freely in this country. And unfortunately, he said to us, too many people don't take advantage of that freedom. They just don't care enough to go out and vote. So he said, boys, you can play a big role in this country. I'm going to give you these things to put on people's, they had like door handles, knockers on the doors in Queens. He said, I want you to go around your neighborhood as late as you can. And he said, put them on everybody's door. And all it said was with an American flag on it, get out and vote. It didn't say vote Democrat or vote Republican. It really didn't. All it said was get out and vote. That's all it said. Well, guess what? I'm no different than that 11-year-old Boy Scout. I'm still telling you to get out there and vote. Yes, I'm no longer telling you not to vote, that I don't care which way you vote. I do care which way you vote. I want the bums thrown out. I want the Socialist Party extinguished from the American landscape. I want the corrupt Democrat Party under Obama to disappear. I had lunch not too long ago with an important man who said to me, how did he put it? I want to get it exactly right. He said to me, I am not a mainstream. He said, I'm a moderate Democrat. And I said, I want you to know that right from the beginning. So you know what I said to him right off the bat? Because I'm very fast at verbal tennis. He said to me, I'm a moderate Democrat. I said, where did your party go? That was the first volley. And he was nonplussed. He didn't have an answer. He basically said, I said, where did your party go? I next followed it up with a volley. I said, John F. Kennedy would be a conservative by comparison to this party today, wouldn't it? He said, yes. And then I went a step further. I said, many of you Democrats are probably quite conservative underneath the surface. He said, yes, we are, but we can't say it. We can't say it because of certain forces and influences within the industries in which we work. I said, you're not telling me anything I don't know. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, heavy metal. This is not Der Spiegel. This is Herr Rammstein. Herr Rammstein. Herr Rammstein. Headbangers. The only ones who could save the world are the people who are castigated and hated by the middle class who run the media. The outlaw can save America. The cast out. Yeah. Only the outlaw can save America. That's right. The team player is worthless. The guys who get along and go along, forget about it. Worthless. Only the outlaw can save America. Only the outlying statistic tells us the truth. In these days, only the outlying statistic tells us the truth. Oh, is the phone live now? I thought I was just listening to music and thinking out loud. Well, I'm trying to like cool it down. I feel like I'm on Highway 80 coming down from the High Sierra, and there are like truck runs on the side. You know, like what do they call those things? Well, like when your brakes fail, and there's like sand gravel on the side of the road where you pull into if your brakes fail. What are those things called, Beowulf? They never had them in the East Coast. Truck. Well, but there's a name for them. I still can't understand how if a big rig blows out his brakes. Coming down off the High Sierra, you're coming off 7,000 feet and you're going down near a sea level, coming down off the mountain. You're running 70 miles an hour in a big rig. What happens if your brakes fail? You're supposed to like pull off into one of these sand grab. How does it stop you? I don't get it. I mean, are they designed to absorb the tires? People don't realize how important highway engineering really is. We take it for granted. It's amazing to me. Anyway, I just feel like I needed a gravel pit here on the Savage Nation in order to slow down because I was coming down off a high peak and I was going too fast, to be honest with you. It's been two and a half weeks almost till tomorrow that my book has come out. And it's attaining huge popularity despite being ignored by Fox News, which is there's a certain delight in this for me. You got to understand, for me, I sent an email, by the way, to one of them at Fox News today, a guy I thought that I had some, you know, respect for him. I thought he broke free of the leprechaun's shillelagh, but he didn't. He wouldn't even have me on. He said he'd rather have a prostitute on, a hooker, a terrorist, a fake reverend, anybody but Michael Savage. And I said, you know what? I don't need you. What I said to him was the book was number three without you. It's liable to be number one without you. And let me tell you something else I said to him in the email. Shame, because I thought that you had an independent mind. Shame that you're still controlled by the leprechaun and the shillelaghs over there. At the controlled by the Westies at Fox News, because I did it without them. Don't you understand that they're not the 400-pound gorilla they pretend to be? They do good work, but they're only a 300-pound gorilla. I didn't need them to achieve this popularity. So I've proven something, haven't I? What have I proven by doing this without them?
Savage.
This is Newsmax TV. I'm Ashley Martella. The long-awaited midterm elections are only days away now. One of the top-rated radio talk show hosts in the nation, Michael Savage, is out with his latest book entitled Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. And the New York Times bestselling author is on the line with us right now to discuss it. Welcome to Newsmax again, Michael.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you. I love Newsmax. I read it every day.
Thank you. We understand the timing of the release of your book was no accident.
No, it was no accident. Trickle-up poverty says it all, because I don't think there's a listener out there, no matter what their economic status is, who doesn't recognize that the Marxist policies of the Obamaites are aimed straight at the heart of the middle class, who, by the way, is suffering the most. The rich aren't doing worse. The poor are still collecting their government checks. Who's getting hit? The middle class. And that's why I call it trickle-up poverty.
Well, you say the middle class is getting hammered and is shrinking. Now, please explain that in reference to the Obama-Pelosi-Reid agenda.
Well, you see, people don't realize that if you look at the college Marxists, and I've lived around them, I did years ago, remember they always disparaged the bourgeoisie, the middle class, while they were collecting their fat tenure checks?
Indeed.
Bourgeoisie means the middle class. It's what defined America for many, many centuries, or for a couple of centuries anyway. Let us say for at least 150 years, it's the great middle class that made America unique. The bourgeoisie has been the target of these Marxists, these czars, and frankly, each one of their policies, whether it's the Obamacare or the taxation, you name it, regulation, who pays it? The middle class. And that's why there's an uproar in the country. That's why the Tea Parties are surging. That's why Tea Party candidates are showing so well in polls, because the people who actually pay the taxes are revolting. And I hope to God they revolt at the ballot box.
Michael, why do you think they target the bourgeoisie or the middle class?
Because, look at this. What was the classic definition of a socialist society? Let's take the ex-Soviet Union. It was a two-class society. There were the bureaucrats, or those who worked for the government, and then there were the rest of the people who were basically serfs. There was virtually no middle class in the ex-Soviet Union. And here in America, the middle class is the enemy of the Obama administration. No matter what they say, if you look at the czars he's hired, they've either extolled Mao Zedong, Anita Dunn did that, or the others. It was either Karl Marx or Mao Zedong. These are all hardcore Marxist socialists. And so trickle-up poverty says it all. You know, Obama came across as a Robin Hood who was going to rob from the rich and give to the poor. The exact opposite is true. He's not robbing from the poor to give to the rich. He's shrinking the middle class to give to the rich and the poor.
Do you think, Michael, enough voters are getting the message along the lines of what you're talking about?
Every poll indicates they are. Take a look even at Harry Reid. Incumbent, many years, powerful union, a union backing. He's in trouble against Sharron Angle, who is fundamentally the darling of the Tea Party, and I think this mirrors what's going on around the country. People had enough of the old girl network.
Since your radio show, The Savage Nation, is based in San Francisco, how do you see the California Senate and governor's races shaping up?
Oh, goodness. Well, whoever wins, it's going to be the same middle-of-the-road approach. There's no way you can get a conservative revolution going in this state. With the large number of illegal aliens and such, I don't see how, when you have politicians pandering to the large numbers of illegals who they want to vote for them, which is a shame unto itself that illegals can vote, because they do, because they've blocked every chance for voter ID. I don't see any candidate coming along the lines of a third party or a Tea Party candidate. I mean, Meg Whitman, I would vote for her because she's a businesswoman. Jerry Brown's a career politician and a radical leftist at that. But beyond her business experience, I don't see any social conservatism, but she's the best we're going to get. As far as the Senate goes, same thing is mirrored in the Fiorina debate versus Barbara Boxer, anyone but Boxer. At least Fiorina had some business experience, so she knows what it is to run a business. So we have to go in that direction. But again, they both avoided the illegal immigration problem and so many other social ills.
Michael, you've remarked on the whole slew of Obama administration officials that have exited, including his chief of staff and the top people on his economic team. What does that tell you?
It tells us that not only, it's like a sinking ship, and the crew is jumping off because they don't want to go down with the ship. is what I see happening. They just want to be gone before it hits the ship in November. Hits the big iceberg in November. I mean, Obama's taken this great ship of state and steered it right onto the against the iceberg, which is just scraping the hull right now. It hasn't gutted the hull, and the ship isn't sinking. But believe me, they know that he steered it so far to the left that they better get off before he hits the big one.
Your book, Trickle Up Poverty, has a 37-point program to reverse it. Reading it, some of it seems like pretty basic stuff, justifying new legislation under the Constitution, rejecting cap and trade, demanding a balanced budget, ending runaway government spending, all but eliminating earmarks, closing and defending the borders, and so forth. Now, those points sound an awful lot like what Tea Party activists have been demanding. Are you optimistic that most or at least some of those points will be adopted because of public sentiment?
You know, the interesting part is that the Tea Parties have a good contract from America, a 10-pointer. But there are many things that they don't have in there, and most of them have to do with, I've noticed many of the Tea Parties will not take on the illegal immigration problem, and they don't touch on the social issues that I touch on. And I think the social issues are very important to many of the American people, such as defend the Defense of Marriage Act is one of my points, end affirmative action, limit welfare benefits, voting reform. I don't see any of that in the Tea Party platform. I put it in hoping that they would remember that the masses of conservative Americans still care about these social issues.
Shifting to Republicans, were you impressed at all with the Pledge to America they released a few weeks ago?
It was a good pledge, but again, didn't go far enough. It went to the 50th or 60th percentile of what voters really want, meaning the people who are up in arms and screaming. And I think that in Trickle Up Poverty, I actually went to where the people want to go. All the issues that the Republicans mentioned, they mention reducing government, but they don't say how. There are no specific targets. In my book, I actually describe how to reduce government and by how much per year to get this budget under control.
Should the Republican Party fully embrace Tea Party activists, and if so, why?
Well, it's an interesting question. They're afraid to do so for fear that they're going to be smeared as an extremist party. On the other hand, if they don't embrace this surge that's going on in the country, they're going to lose the momentum of the true grassroots, you know, excitement that's going on in the nation. What came out just now in today's news I found very interesting, and it says voters more likely to see Democrats as extremists. Can you believe this one? Likely voters in battleground districts see extremists as having a more dominant influence over the Democrat Party than they do over the GOP. And this came out from thehill.com. I think it's very interesting.
All right, you do advocate something we don't hear much about. You'd like to see tariffs imposed on imports from China. Why do you think that would be a good thing?
Well, because they're burying us. They are controlling the world's economy by keeping their currency too low so that they can continue to export cheaply. You know what I'm saying? And also it cripples those of us in other countries who want to export to China. And so unless we impose tariffs on their goods, we're going to lose every industry. We have lost our machining industry, lost our steel industry. We virtually lost most of our auto industry. Unless tariffs are put on their goods, the few industries that remain in this nation that are viable are liable to disappear very, very shortly. And the only way to save America is to institute tariffs on specified industries and to rebuild the manufacturing base of the United States of America.
And finally, in your words from a previous interview, President Obama is a lifetime Marxist. Do you put members of Congress in that same category? And if so, most notably who?
It's a great question. I think you've got to look at the voting records. Now, first of all, people are going to say, how can you prove it? I spent chapter after chapter proving that Obama is not only a lifetime Marxist, he's a lifetime pan-Leninist, which is quite different. It's a variety of Marxism. It's a more virulent form of Marxism. If you look at Congress, all you've got to look at the voting records. Whoever has the most liberal voting record, basically they're fellow travelers. That's how I see it.
Again, the name of the book, Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. Michael Savage, thanks very much and good luck.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on Newsmax.
This show show has gotten bigger. It's unbelievable. I told you that the success of my book has rejuvenated me. I'm going to level with you again on the Savage Nation. Welcome back. I had been contemplating, let me use the correct tense here. I just was kind of dispirited for a long while. You know that. You know that I can fight it out to the end because I was raised to go on for quite some time. And then the burden of having researched and written that book all in such a short period of time and gotten it out there literally left me almost like roadkill on the side of the road. Before the book came. But when the book came out and I looked at it, the finished product, it was like having given birth to a baby that turned out to be healthy and beautiful. And then I saw it became such a big success that the people still reacted to me. I saw that my audience was still there. I got to be very honest with you. At a certain point, a man doesn't really know if his audience is still there with him. You don't know. You know, I got to be very clear. You don't understand how this business works. You're alone in a studio with a microphone. You don't really know who you're reaching. You read the numbers, you hear the, but you don't really know. How do you really know? How do you really know if anyone's listening to you? Really, how many are listening? Do they really like what you say anymore? Do they really find you captivating? Are you really influencing people the way you did 10 years ago? You don't know the answers to these questions. The book comes out, it goes to number three with virtually no television except mid and small markets. You know that. Banned on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News. A blacklist exists against Michael Savage because they understand that I represent the equivalent of the independent actors who were trying to break the studio system in the 1930s and 40s. I'm like the Jimmy Stewart of radio. Remember, there were only a few people who controlled whatever movies were made in America in the 30s and 40s. It was called the studio system. And either you worked for them or you didn't work at all. But then there came people, along came people like Jimmy Stewart and some others whose talent was so great that they broke free of the studio system and the studios had to do what they wanted. They were called free agents. They were able to work where they wanted, do whatever movies they wanted. And eventually, the power of the studio system was broken down and the independent movie companies originated, as you well know. Well, it's the same with this show. It's run by an independent syndicated talk radio network. And as a result, because of the stations that, like the one you're listening to me on, carry it, I don't need ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News. Sure, if they want to reach out to me and say, okay, Savage, your book is so powerful, how can we ignore you? We're going to be seen as nothing but hacks if we don't have you on, considering we only have prostitutes, pimps, politicians, fake reverends on. I mean, there's a certain point at which they have to reach out to who America's reaching out to. Don't you think eventually the shillelagh has to let go? Eventually corned beef has to let go. Eventually his boss has to go to Leprechaun and say, hey, look, Leprechaun, you're killing the station with your egomania. And we got to have this guy on. So that's going to be, I'm telling you, this is going to happen. And I won't go on. How's that? I'm like Groucho Marx at this point. Any country club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't want to join. I'm proud to be an independent. I'm really proud to be a rebel. I'm proud to be outside the mainstream of the media. Don't you understand that? I'm the Tea Party of radio. I don't need them. They need me, but they're not going to get me because I'm not going on those shows. I don't want them. It's too late now. You know, it's like a club you wanted to join and they rejected you. And then 6 months later, they say, would you like to join the club? No, thank you. That's how I feel. So anyway, I want to thank you for revitalizing me, rejuvenating me, giving me faith again to go on. If God gives me the strength, I'm going to stay on the air for another couple of years right through the 2012 election. I will write another book, at least one of the book. It'd probably be about Teddy's favorite foods. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be. Teddy and I have very deep conversations about his favorite dietary items. He's shaking his chain right now. He has such a sense of timing. This dog knows when each break is coming. He knows when the end of the hour is coming. He's already looking at the door outside the studio, which if I don't get to fast enough, we're going to have a little problem in here, and I'll have to clean it up, and I don't want to, so I hope the show ends. But anyway, let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. As you can hear, I'm a little joyful right now. Why, I don't know. I have no idea what's wrong. I know that usually when I get this giddy, the next day I'm depressed. New York, Diane, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just want to tell you I'm a loyal listener every night. And I
thank
thought
you
might like to know, I went into the Barnes & Noble today and on Union Turnpike and Utopia Parkway right across the street.
Whoa, my old stomping grounds. There's a Barnes & Noble there now.
The new one there, right across the street from St. John's College.
Wait, where, though, on that block? I got to know where on the block, on the corner or in the middle?
It's on the same side as St. John's College when you cross the street. In other words, where St. John's is, just cross the street on that side. There's a brand new Barnes & Noble there.
Oh, there used to be a bank there or something, I remember.
Still is a
bank. You know, I actually, down the street on Union Turnpike was the old Bankers Trust Company that I write about that I used to keep my savings account, and that's probably long gone. Along with Doc, along with my mother, along with my father, along with my aunt, along with my uncle, along with all the people I love. Anyway, so what happened? You went in and bought the book?
And I without even looking, I went straight to the salesperson and I said, I'd like Triple Up Poverty. And he says, oh, that's right in the front of the store. Come. And he brings me right to the front. I don't know how I missed it. And I saw it, and I said, oh, okay. And I said, there were eight. I counted. There were eight. I said, gee, I'm surprised you have eight left. He says, that's a second shipment.
The second shipment. They sold out already, and they reordered. And I heard from my agent, as I said earlier, I got to say it again. It was number one in Barnes & Noble stores last week. This is amazing. Diane, I want to say this is a big thrill for me because that is where I grew up, literally right on that street. In fact, I lived there before St. John's University was there. It used to be a golf course, and they used to have a sign up on the golf course for all the years I was a child that said, coming soon, St. John's University. So the cynical men that were my father's friends used to walk around when they'd walk their dog, they'd say, yeah, sure, there'll really be a university one day. They were such doubting Thomases, but little did we know St. John's would originate, and they'd have a dean like the one that they just got rid of who used foreign students as slaves. How do you like that?
Right. Anyway, I bought two, and there were six left. After I bought, there were eight on the shelf.
Well, I'm giving you a free copy, but I have the most important question of the day. My mother, may she rest in peace, used to walk up there with her stroller to buy food. Didn't matter what time of the night. Remember, it was safe years ago to walk in those streets because the cops at the precinct looked out for the women, looked out for the children. Today, they can't do their job because of the rat lawyers.
It's gone.
They're not even in business anymore. So, Well, all right. Things change. Things remain the same. You've been there a long time in that neighborhood?
Meadows, 40 years.
And how is it? How would you say the neighborhood is today? Is it still safe there?
Yes, it's still a beautiful neighborhood.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nice? Do you know that Donald Trump grew up in Jamaica Estates right near there?
Yes, I was aware of that, too.
And, yeah, it's amazing. Right across in that area, in those beautiful homes over there. I lived in the row houses. He lived in a detached house. He was like a zillionaire. His father was a builder. And my father had a small store, and we lived in an attached house. To me, it was a castle. It was 20 feet wide on a lot 100 feet deep. And you could hear your neighbor through both walls. But let me tell you the truth. It was a castle to me. To this day, I have reminiscences of the winters on Long Island, when the snow would come in and the storm window would ice over, and I'd look down and see the cars going by in the snow. To me, it may as well have been Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, the life that is in my past, only in my memory. Do you know that?
It's a lovely neighborhood, really.
Well, you stay in the line, you're getting a free copy of Trickle Up. Thank you very much. One more caller from the middle of America, Ohio. Len, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is great to talk to you, Michael. We're a military family, and we would just love you. And I have a 25-year-old son, Chris, who I hope's listening right now because he's on his way home from work. But anyway, he went to a local Barnes & Noble, and he got upset when he couldn't find your book. And when he went to talk to the clerk, they said, well, you know, I'm surprised we even have one left here. It's over in the corner because they've been flying right off the shelf. Well, anyway, he got the book. And
I understand they gave you a free coffee, but you're getting a free book, Len. We're flat out of time. God bless your military family. This is the Savage Nation. Stay.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
so much to talk about today. Let me begin at the top. Newsmax did an interview with me that heads, the heading says it all, okay? Obama targets middle class, says Michael Savage, and trickle-up poverty. I mean, that really defines what I've been trying to say for a long time. Savage says Obama targets middle class. Nationally syndicated radio talk show's Michael Savage contends that President Obama considers the middle class to be his enemy, and he has targeted it in Marxist policies. The best-selling author also discusses his latest book, Trickle Up Poverty. Now, the reason I say that is because it's true. The college leftist crowd has long bitterly condemned and ridiculed the bourgeoisie. The bourgeoisie, as you well know, is the middle class. So for Obama to pretend that he cares about the middle class when it's the middle class that's being hammered, houses lost, jobs lost, it's not the rich who are suffering right now. It's not the poor. They're still getting their government subsidies. They're not paying any taxes. Who is it? It's the taxpayer, the middle class, getting hammered because they've been targeted to get hammered in by this administration, as I point out, in trickle-up poverty. What's interesting is that Barbara Anderson did a review, and she says, Michael Savage goes through the tapestry of his past, but there is much more than telling about his stories. If you wondered why or how, you will find out how healthcare came to be. Professors are named by Obama. Mm-hmm. You'll find out there are no checks or balances. You'll find out who the MFA is, why is short selling and hedge funds, and why it is important to you. Why did Savage say the raid made Bernie Madoff look like a piker? Why was the SEC involved? Who are the Bilderbergs? Who are Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, George Soros, Timothy Geithner, Richard Holbrooke, Ben Bernanke, and Senators Chris Dodd, and Dianne Feinstein and Henry Kissinger? What do they have in common? Find out here. Although you won't know what they're up to, huh? Secure secrecy. Do you wonder about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Bonnie Frank's mess is there. TARP is featured in his book. Goldman Sachs and most of the big banks are in here. The unions are mentioned, especially SEIU. It's all in there. Did you know about the Ready Reserve Corps? It's there in trickle-up poverty. Did you know about health care, death panels, Medicare, Medicaid? Did you know about Senator Ben Nelson got the Cornhusker kickback? Did you know Senator Mary Landrieu got $300 million in pork? It's in here. What three groups are exempt from health care? Find it in his book. Why does Obama want to redistribute the wealth? What does it mean to you? And so forth and so on, so forth and so on. It's a book review by Barbara Anderson about trickle-up poverty. And I ask again, why does Obama want to dismantle NASA? He has announced that he is getting rid of the NASA space program. What will this do? Anyway, trickle-up poverty is about getting the middle class, soak the rich. I suggest you go to michaelsavage.com and look at the Newsmax TV interview. We also have some big news on the Savage Nation. The big news is that Michael Savage and others have come to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, on 7:30 on the dial. WTNT is back, 7:30 on the dial. But the big news is that Michael Savage will be heard 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 p.m., noon to 3 p.m., and then again live from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., Michael Savage, WTNT on the dial, 7:30 on the dial. The truth comes to Washington. I think the people in Washington are going to love the show. I just know they're going to love hearing me 6 hours a day. Don't you, Beowulf? Isn't that good to think? 6 hours a day, Harry Reid can listen to me from noon to 3. And if he misses me during lunch, he can always catch me driving to the Ritz-Carlton to meet the showgirls between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m.
That's great.
Right?
That's great. Now, all those Nancy Pelosi will get a chance to hear you, too, when she's working.
Well, she said she's not going to run again.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't know what she's going to do. She may have to run, but not run again.
Maybe she'll have to run fast. In those heels, that might be difficult.
Yeah, it's not funny. I really, you know, Beowulf, I want to go back to something I said yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I predicted every prognosticator, the big ones, are saying that the Dems could lose 50 to 60 seats. They say 90 seats are in play, right?
Yeah.
And they're predicting the Dems will lose 50 to 55. Yesterday, I said, not so fast. My prediction is 15 to 25 at most. because the Dems will steal the election in many districts. That's what I said yesterday, remember?
I do. And we're already seeing some of that across the country. You've got a couple of stories on your website about it.
Yes, a story came out that the Dems have bused high school students to the polls, gave them free ice cream, and gave them only Democrat ballots. Can you believe this?
God.
Can you believe that? Ice cream, no less. I'm surprised they didn't give them the Kool-Aid.
Maybe they got it from Michelle.
I wish everybody good luck out there. I really do, except the czars. I think Tsar Nikolai, the czar should be sent where Tsar Nikolai is. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. I could sing a Russian ditty right now that I heard as a child. I didn't know what it was, but it's too dirty to sing. I'll sing the first stanza because there's nothing dirty in it. The old men, the World War II veterans who came home, you used to go to these bungalow kind, they would sing a song, and they would sing with such laughter with tears in their eyes. It started with Tsar Nikolai, and the next refrain is dirty. In Russian. I can't repeat it, though, but the Russians out there know what the follow-up. And then it is Tsar Nikolai, da-da-da-da-da. Essen trinken, I can't sing it. I'm sorry. I can't sing the song. I'll save it for the late-night show in a theater. You know, I really ought to do a late-night show where I can really do the stuff that I do behind the scenes. There's a bit of, it's not like another side. It's another part of the moon, that's all. Are you ready for the battle? I want to ask you something. Are you ready for the battle coming up? Are you ready for the battle? I want to hear you scream yes. Are you ready to go out as an army of savages and savagettes? I want to hear you scream yes. Are you ready to go out there and demand your place in the sun? Are you ready to vote? Are you ready to tell people what's going on? Then you're my people.
Savage.
I've talked before about the Alfred Kinsey Report, which the left has been using to undermine our morals and culture. There are reports now coming out saying some of the children that suffered through these so-called Kinsey studies are speaking out that they were actually raped by their parents so that Kinsey could record it. Joining us now with a report on this is Dr. Judith Reisman.
Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for having me on again today. I'm always happy to be on the show and talk to your listeners.
Dr. Reisman, is this true?
Well, one of the survivors, Esther, that's her pseudonym, who I have met, actually has a documentation that would strongly support her claim that, in fact, she was one of the victims of the Kinsey sex experiments. And even the Kinsey Institute admitted that they were worried. That was a big concern they had, that kids were going to start coming forward of the victims, or the victims themselves would come forward, and they would have to face a class action lawsuit. The prior director of the Kinsey Institute said that.
The left says that these studies were just scientific experiments. Why were they worried about this possibility?
Well, you know, the Tuskegee experiment, that was all done in the name of science, too. And recently, the Guatemala experiments that were conducted on Guatemalans, the President of the United States just apologized for that, and so did Hillary. We're looking to try and get as many of the victims of the Kinsey sex experiments, which were never done. I mean, these were always crimes and violent and were never legal. Even if they were legal, they would have been horrible and wrong, but they weren't. And so we're actually looking now for as many victims out there as possible to come forward and join with Esther in a class action lawsuit against the Kinsey Institute.
A class action lawsuit is in the works?
Absolutely. Esther has been long hoping for that kind of action. She said they exploited me. They used me for their book. They lied about her and other children as young as 2 months of age. So when a child, 2 months of age, my goodness, we're looking at victims who are maybe now in their early 60s even, and they could come forward and become part of this class action lawsuit that Liberty Counsel is definitely considering putting forward. Matt Staver, the dean of the law school has said so in the latest WorldNet Daily article.
Well, how did Esther get involved?
Her grandfather was at Indiana University attending to get his degree in teaching. He was older. He knew Mr. Kinsey or Dr. Kinsey at the time, and he transferred. He molested Esther, and only once, but then he transferred his behavior onto his son. His son then, that is her father, molested her, took and filled out the little boxes and the records that Kinsey had his people doing. And by the way, still records like that can be coming into the Kinsey Institute. They were coming into the Kinsey Institute as a few years ago that they announced when the film came out.
Wait a minute. You say these experiments can still be going on?
Well, we don't know. We know some of these things appear to be happening. We know that the Kinsey Institute announced when the film came out that they were still getting records in from the people that Kinsey had advised to send in. Keep records of their sex acts. Those acts included crimes. So they're highly probably part of the system that has come into the Kinsey Institute. They've never reported to the police, and they've said they would destroy their records rather than let anybody know what they were doing.
Was there any evidence that Kinsey knew this was going on?
Oh, every evidence. Kinsey absolutely knew what was going on. He was part and parcel of the whole thing. He took those records, those rapes that were taking place, and it was on cinema, and it was also print. He had people taking films, and they advised these rapists, the pedophiles, to use stopwatches. On their own words, they actually advised them to use stopwatches so they could record the tortures that they were committing on these little children in quote-unquote scientific end quote terms. I was on the Donahue show, and one of their guys, Clarence Tripp, one of Kinsey's associates, actually said on the Donahue show that, yes, they use stopwatches to record their thing. But that was very scientific, he said, and she objects to that and says it was criminal.
Well, what kind of follow-up was done with these rapes, these scientific experiments?
Yeah, right. Well, it was the first thing I asked. I wrote to the Kinsey Institute as soon as I looked at these charts and graphs, and I saw these little children and, you know, 26 orgasms in 24 hours for a little 4-year-old boy, right, and a 5-month-old child and all that, so, and stopwatches. And so I wrote to them, and I said, what was the follow-up? Because obviously that is one of the major requirements for any kind of human experimentation. And they said, wrote back, Gebhardt, who was running the Institute at the time, wrote me back and said, well, there was no follow-up because it was either impossible or too expensive, quote-unquote. And, of course, that's so illegal, so unethical. And the whole idea of it being science was a sham and a scam and a fraud. It always has been and it always will be. And it was to change and gut American values. That's what it was for.
Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, I will eagerly be helping the Liberty Council in their efforts to begin to negotiate both the location of the victims and also calling for a congressional investigation, which they were supposed to do in 1995, and then that collapsed. But in 1995, there was supposed to be a congressional investigation of the Kinsey Institute for its use of these horrific data to train our current sexology profession. As Donahue said, we've trained a full generation of sexologists on Kinsey, and he says, and I identified him as a dirty old man. And yes, that is the foundation of Planned Parenthood, of CECUS, of all of the curricula that's been created on human sexuality education that's in our schools today.
What can we, the people, do?
Ah, please keep an eye out. Anybody who feels that they have been one of the victims of these experiments, contact WorldNet Daily. Get on their website and contact them. You can see a way that you can contact me through them. And please be part of the effort to demand, first and foremost, a congressional investigation of the Kinsey data, and you can do that at the state level, and you can do that at the congressional level. Join us, because Kinsey is the absolute foundation for the destruction of the Judeo-Christian belief system in our country, legally and socially. So everything that you can do out there in the Tea Party movement or wherever will be critically important to our future safety, in fact.
Where can we read more?
My last book on this was Sexual Sabotage. You can certainly get that through WorldNet Daily or your local bookstore. Tell your local bookstore you want the copies. And do get a copy to make sure it's put into your library, because your librarians, in all probability, will not stock it unless you bring it in there as a donation. So get Sexual Sabotage, read it, learn what's been going on, and follow the WorldNet Daily campaign, because they're working on this and it's not going to stop. We need America to help. We need America to demand that these children's rights and that these children's abuses be repatriated.
Dr. Eastman, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm so pleased to be here. I will constantly be ready to talk to this and many other issues.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius. Aquarius.
Now, to show you how bad it's gotten and how weak Obama has made America, how the danger we are in, Chavez was welcomed by Iran's Hitler after a nuke deal with Russia. Chavez arrived in Iran from Moscow, where he clinched a raft of deals, including the accord to build Venezuela's first nuclear power plant. We are being triangulated by the communists, not because Obama's weak, but because Obama is in cahoots with them. It's meant to destroy the hegemony of the United States of America. They're out to kill us, Beowulf.
Yeah, the next Cuban missile crisis will be a Venezuelan crisis, and we don't have a Kennedy in office this time.
Chinese firms helping Iran develop nukes. So you got China, you got Russia, you got Venezuela developing nukes, surrounding us. Why? Because they're not afraid of America? No, not so much that. Because Obama gave them the green light.
Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
Bin Laden living comfortably in Pakistan. Ground Zero mosque developer faces $100,000 default lawsuit. How Obamacare betrays seniors. Devastating impact on elderly and disabled Medicare enrollees. If you go to michaelsavage.com, it's in the middle of the page. Backdoor amnesty continues. They're just doing it quietly. Top Marine says 95% of troops don't want open homosexuality in the ranks. Go tell that to the judges, huh? If you go down to the bottom of michaelsavage.com, we'll start on the bottom. Michelle Obama downs cheeseburger and fries. An Islamic court has said men can beat the wives if they leave no marks.
Oh, Jesus, God.
The legal ruling gives all husbands and fathers in the ultra-rich Gulf state the right to discipline family female members. And what's interesting to me is female family members is that the lunatic women on The View support Islam as though they can't live without this religion.
Yeah, let's see how they would like living there, I wonder.
Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan from what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Anyway, here's Nancy Pelosi talking about the Dems, her legacy.
Who cares?
And the RNC's Fire Pelosi bus.
Who cares? They've got to get a tow truck and tow it away.
Shouldn't that be the Fire Pelosi military aircraft?
Just as we had to get a tow truck to pull the economy of our country out of the ditch.
It's not
that
a ditch,
the Republicans,
Nancy,
drove us into.
Remember what Reid said.
I'm going to get us out of this hole.
So is it a ditch or a hole?
Ditch.
Hole.
Ditch.
Hole.
Wow.
The message this time is we're fighting for the middle class.
Fighting
we're
for the middle
forward,
class.
We're going forward. Moving America forward. We're not going back.
Remember and what I said. Trickle-up poverty aimed at the middle class.
And this is hard because we were in a deep ditch.
So now we're
now
in a deep ditch, not a hole.
We have to dig the country out.
Miss Speaker, it is you and the Dems that have dug the ditch or hole so deeply. Pelosi goes on about how wonderful she is.
I'm not a footnote. I'm the first woman Speaker of the House, and we passed the most comprehensive health insurance reform. I didn't come here about me. I
all
came
about
here
her.
About
all
policy
about her.
And the issues. And I wouldn't, are you saying, would I rather not have passed the health care bill so I could keep this office?
All about her keeping her office and her big hammer.
Never. Never.
Never say never. This one is frightening. Talking at a pro-Hamas rally, an associate professor of English, don't you know, at Lincoln University, Ka'ubab Siddiqui, English, in Pennsylvania, calls for the destruction of Israel, quotes the Quran, tells them to kill Jews.
We must stand united to defeat, to destroy, to dismantle Israel, if possible, by peaceful means. Perhaps, like Salahuddin, we will give them enough food and water to travel back to the land from the way they came to occupy our
people. Listen, stop this nonsense. Let's not forget history, you lib lecturer.
For the Jews, I would say, see what could happen to you if the Muslims.
So this is what liberalism has wrought.
And I say to the Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, unite and rise up against this hydra-headed
monster. Here
are the
practitioners of the religion of peace. When they're given a hand, they take the
arm. Calls itself Zionism. The Quran says, drive them out.
The Book of Peace, they keep quoting.
You are. There's no question of just removing the settlements. These settlements are only the tentacles of the devil who resides in Tel Aviv.
Now you can see where the real Quran lies. Now, Beowulf wrote an interesting monologue today entitled Fox Isn't the Only Game in Town, and I want to read some of it. He wrote this. He said, the savage nation and trickle-up poverty have proven that Fox News isn't the only game in town. Without Fox News, trickle-up poverty was number one on Amazon. Without Fox News, trickle-up poverty was number one on BarnesandNoble.com. Without Fox News, trickle-up poverty was number three on the New York Times bestseller list. It may go higher still. In fact, Beowulf, we just got news, fresh news, that trickle-up poverty was number one on the Barnes & Noble list last week.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Fox News does a great job in some areas, but it's not the proverbial 400-pound gorilla. It's maybe a 300-pound gorilla. And I, Michael Savage, have proven that it's possible to succeed without them. Beowulf says this is similar to the studio system in the Hollywood of the 1930s and 40s. But there were a small number of actors who were so successful, Jimmy Stewart was one of them, that they could work as independent agents. And they worked as independent agents, choosing the studios and projects they wanted to work with. And eventually the studio bosses lost control as others realized they could succeed without them as well. The same thing is beginning to happen in the media of today. Trailblazers like Michael Savage are showing with the success of the Savage Nation and trickle-up poverty that you don't have to be a big studio in order to make it big. You don't need a big syndicator or to show up on all the cable news shows to have one of the biggest radio shows in the country and to have one of the biggest selling books in the nation. What you do have to have is talent, guts, and the truth on your side, and that's something that Fox News doesn't have as much of as it used to. Thank you, Beowulf. That was well written.
Certainly, sir. Well, the media is going to be completely different in 5 years, and you're going to be the cause of it. It'll be a completely different landscape.
Well, how so?
These independents, led by you, are going to come to dominance in the media, and there's not going to be as much centralized control as per Fox News.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm not so sure. You know, I'm always doubting Thomas about the good guys winning.
We'll see. I think it could happen.
Anyway, the big stories are all there, and I hope that people didn't forget most of what we just said. It's very important that they try to remember it, because big things are happening. They're on the move. Early voting is showing some results already. White Republican men are coming out in mass numbers. Speaker Pelosi looks like she may lose the big hammer. Angle ad in Nevada shows Harry Reid hanging out with supermodels. She took aim at Reid for living at the Ritz-Carlton. Pelosi has just come out and said she won't run again for the speakership. Well, she won't run again. You know, we joked about that earlier. She said she won't run again. I mean, she may be running from congressional committees. Rep. Mike McIntyre, Dean North Carolina, said that not only would he not back Pelosi for Speaker, but also that he'd heard she would not seek another term in that position. McIntyre said, from what we're hearing, she's probably not going to run for Speaker again. If she does, I'm confident she's going to have opposition. I look forward to supporting that opposition. The seven-term centrist Democrat is facing Republican Ilario Pantano in one of the toughest re-election challenges of his career. You like this one? So now suddenly the Democrats are seeing the light, right? They're saying they're opposing Pelosi. That's after they supported her for all these years.
Ah, Ilario Pantano. Familiar name to Savage listeners.
Well, that's what's going on. I'll be right back.
Savage.
C'è una luna mezzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
Ma, papà, tu.
Se te peglia lo pesciaiole, isso va, isso viene.
Oh, man, I want to go to Florida and have some calamari. Sick of California. I want to fly away already. And when I get there, I can't wait to come back. La, 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 la. Flapless Coast Corps. Hey, Goomba. Hey, Goomba. Hey, Gumare. Calamare. Gumare. I love this song. Italian stereotype surface and race for governor. I'm for Palladino. I'm slightly comophobic, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, I'm comophobic. Passa si sobre. It's a Jewish holiday. Passa si sobre. Pass over it. it's not funny. None of this is. See, four restaurants in a row I walked out of this weekend. That's four in a row. Friday it started with the Chinese that I went to for 20 years. She gave me... They look you right. I don't understand this. She knows me for 20 years. I ordered the same dish, $16. Not the lunch special, the seafood special. It comes out, okay, I know, blah, blah, blah. So there's four shrimp the size of my pinky fingernail and four scallops the size of my thumbnail. I don't say anything because it's already 20 years with this joint. I eat the meal. It's mainly vegetable. I figure, okay, that's better for me anyway, instead of contaminated seafood, trafe. As I'm leaving, I go to the owner. I pay. I don't complain. I say, hey, I'll call her Betty. No, I mean, sorry. I'll call her Annie. So I said, Annie, could I say something? You better tell the cook. I said, there were only four shrimp. You didn't understand me. I said, there's only four shrimp in the dish. I'm Mr. Dumbbell, like a poster on the wall. So I said, let me start again. Let me hold up four fingers. You know me for 20 years. I said, there were four shrimp and four little scallops. She said, oh, I'll tell the cook next time. No refund. No, like, I'm sorry. I shall tell the cook. She could tell the cook all she wants because I'm never going in there again, okay? That's the end of the road. That was number one. Then at an Italian restaurant in the neighborhood, the calamari came back from this joint in Marin County, another one. What is it? Food quality going down, or they think people are idiotic? I order a calamari sandwich I've had 100 times. The fish came back. The guy who delivered it, the car stank like he went like over dead, like a dead animal was in the car. The minute he walked through the door, it smelled like somebody had just come out of a halfway house or was just about to be put into a halfway house in a bag. That's what the sandwich smelled like. I got so angry, I sent it back with the delivery guy. That's the end of that. So that's two, Chinese and Italian. There's nothing left. So I'm cooking for myself again. Now, I did have one good meal over the weekend, now that I think about it. And I will mention, I went to Alioto's on the Wharf. I haven't been there in months. And that guy puts out great food. When Richie's there, I enjoy going there. That's all. And I did enjoy it. I didn't eat very much. A salad and a little calamari. What am I eating with calamari? Because it's like, to me, that food has a reaction in me. Like, it's like a levitra from the sea. Every time I eat that stuff, it's frightening. So what do you need? I mean, you could get over revved up too. But because I'm such a highly, like, driven person, I'm so charged up all the time. It's very hard to turn off the charge. I'm like all of these plus charges coming off my being. It's very hard to turn them into a neutral unless you throw the negs at it. So I know what foods to eat to make it into a if I eat neg foods, I can turn my balance into a neutr. Oh, it's very complicated. It's the acid alkaline balance and all of that. Don't let me bore you with this. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Riot police turned out in Atlanta control a mob of tens of thousands of Georgians trying to get on a public housing waiting list. You hear this? Give them more public housing. Maybe they could just give them a crack pipe to go with each apartment, one for each bedroom. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Blue Cross Blue Shield to raise rates up to 47%. Thank you, Obama. All you liberals, you have no idea what you did to yourself. I warned you, try to warn you, try to stop you, try to warn you independents what would happen. But you said Michael Savage was too extreme. You said Michael Savage was making it up. You said Obama was the Messiah. Blue Cross Blue Shield to raise rates by up to 47%. And you'll be paying for it through the nose. You'll be paying. I'm not happy about it. Healthcare reform blamed for huge hike in premiums. Did you hear this? Connecticut, in Connecticut, the land of the psycholib from Hades. The land of the psycholib in Connecticut, the only people on earth who want to pay more taxes. People who are enrolled, is it Anthem? Anthem, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield, the go-ahead to raise premiums by as much as 47% for some members and say healthcare reform is the reason why. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal sent a letter to Insurance Commissioner Thomas Sullivan on October 6th, asking what he called excessive increases were approved without full consideration of all the facts. Well, what can I tell you? Sullivan responded to Blumenthal saying the new rates included very rich benefits mandated by federal law. How do you like that? How do you like that? So you didn't know this. You didn't know this would happen to you. You thought someone else would pay for it. Well, you're going to pay for it. Everybody knew that premiums would skyrocket under Obama, except you, the voter. Do you understand this? You're going to give universal health care basically to illegal aliens in Connecticut and elsewhere. You're going to give unlimited health care to children. Who's going to pay for it? You idiot, you. You know what's interesting to me? And this is a very touchy point. Insurers are now required to carry people with pre-existing conditions. Now, you may say that's very compassionate, but let's look at the other side of that argument. A person has a debilitating illness, and they say, well, now you have to carry me. That's like saying, I've just had an auto accident. I want insurance. How does that work? I've just been in a head-on collision, but I have no insurance. Give me insurance, so everyone has to pay for me. What sense does this make? You mean the person with a pre-existing condition doesn't have 1,000% more a premium to pay? Why not? Because you're a moron. You should pay for it. You deserve it. You deserve to pay for it because you're a big putz. That's why. You, the American people, are the biggest schmucks on the planet. I warned you. Others warned you. We told you Obama's a communist. My whole book, Trickle Up Poverty, exposes what he's going to do next. You don't want to hear it, though. Wait till your premiums go up. Wait till your food prices start to skyrocket. Wait till a dollar is devalued by another 10 or 15% next year. You keep waiting. Wait till Venezuela builds nukes. Go ahead, keep waiting and keep sitting there with your head in the sand. Oh, he's great. He's hope. Anybody but an old white guy. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're such a good liberal. You're such a good liberal, you morons. You don't even know when a traitor appears in your midst because you never read your literature. You never read your Roman history. You read nothing. All you read were condom boxes and the labels on condom boxes, you idiots, you. That's what they taught you in college. How to choose prophylactics. I'll take a call now on the Savage Nation. Here's Shay and Iowa. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm really interested in reading your book, and I live out in the middle of nowhere, and the closest bookstore to me is like an hour and a half away. So I decided to go to my library to see if they have it in, and they don't. So I said, you know, can you please bring it in for me? So she said, okay, you know, come back tomorrow and I'll see what I can do. And she told me that the closest place where they have it is in Des Moines, which is 4 hours away from me. So supposedly it's too far for them to loan it from the other library. So I said, well, can you order it for me? So she said, okay, let me see. Come back again. So I went back and she says, I'm really sorry, but I don't think I can bring it in. It's a little bit too political for us.
She said it's what? A little what?
Too political. I said, too political.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that your librarian has made a value judgment that my conservative book, Trickle Up Poverty, is too conservative? Why don't you review some of the liberal books that she's ordered and see if that's what I mean, is this fair? Is this permissible?
No, it's not. And I told, and I came out and I said to her, I said, well, you know, you do have Mein Kampf in your library. You have Hitler's book in your library, but Michael Savage is too political.
Oh, my God. She doesn't, she won't have my book, but she has Das Kapital and Mein Kampf.
Yeah,
who is this lunatic? You know, she should lose her job for this, by the way.
I was thinking of writing a letter.
You should write. You're from Ireland originally.
South Africa originally.
And what made you move to the middle? Are you farming out there to get away from the apartheid that's coming?
Well, I moved when I was really young with my parents.
Are you farming? What are you growing out there?
I'm not growing anything. Growing a family, if that counts.
So you decided to go to the heartland. Well, I'm sending you two free copies of Trickle Up Poverty, one for you and one for your damn librarian. Stay on the line. You're my people to save the country. It comes down to the wire. Either you throw the Democrats out, you replace them with any Republican.
Savage.